Thank you, Brother Kenny. If you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4 is where we'll be tonight. And taking a break, a detour, if you will, from the book of Esther. And just felt led of the Lord to maybe give something a little bit encouraging, especially in light of just a lot of what has been going on. A lot of folks have been, of course, Brother Ralph going home to be with the Lord, but a lot of folks also just dealing with sickness and health issues and in and out of the hospital and surgeries and different things like that. And so want to just share some things here from God's Word tonight that might be a help and might be an encouragement. And here in James chapter 4, the section we're going to focus on is going to be the last portion of it, verses 13 down through about verse 16 or 17, through the end of the chapter. And here we find James, and while not said for sure and not said for certain, here he's possibly addressing the wealthy merchants that he finds in the assembly here as he's writing this this epistle, as he's writing this letter. And these merchants, no doubt, they might have been discussing their business deals. They might have been boasting about their plans. And we find no evidence to the contrary that shows us that they sought the will of God. It gives us no evidence that they prayed about the decisions that they were about to make. There was no indication here that they had any thought whatsoever of what God wanted from their life and from their businesses and from their business dealings and so on and so forth. And we see that these merchants here, no doubt, they measured their success in life by how many times they got their own way, by how many times they accomplished what they had planned. But here we find some things that God gives us regarding really the uncertainty of life. And that's what I wanted to see tonight, just some things about life that would do us all good to take hold of and wrap our minds around and wrap our hearts around. And, you know, I guess it was probably two or three Wednesday nights ago now is when Brother Ralph first went back into the hospital after having been discharged. And he went in there, and then that Friday we went up to visit him, and he wasn't sounding too good as far as that visit went, but he was talking about what was going to happen when he got out, you know, go to rehab, go to physical therapy over at Elderwood. And so he was making plans for out of the hospital. And then Friday evening we left and we went to get some dinner, and he calls me up on the phone and we talked for a little bit more, and he was sounding better. And so thought, okay, he's kind of on the mend. And then didn't hear anything from him over the weekend, except for I think on Saturday he sent out a text message saying that he'd been put on the respirator, the BiPAP machine for the breathing. And then Tuesday went up to see him, and while he couldn't talk or use his cell phone or anything like that, he still knew folks were there, visiting and talking to him. He could shake his head yes, shake his head no, different things like that. And so, but then Sunday night we get home, and we get the call from Miss Eileen. And in that span of time, things went from talking about rehab and physical therapy to being able to communicate to then not being able to communicate at all. And Lord impressed upon me this passage here in James chapter 4 for us tonight. Notice here, if you would, James chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get again. Here's the key to the verse we want to focus on tonight, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and that doeth it not, to him it is sin. And again, the verse we want to focus on, verse 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. And that's the question I want to ask us tonight and challenge us with. For what is your life? What is your life? And there's several things tonight we see here from James chapter 4. Number one, I believe we see the complexity of life. We see the complexity of life. Life is complicated. Life is difficult. Life is hard. Notice there again, verse 13. The Bible says, go to now that ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And so you think about this. You think of all that is involved in life, whether it be today, tomorrow, buying, selling, getting gain, losing, going here, going there. Life is made up of people. Life is made up of places. Life is made up of activities and goals and days and years and months and weeks and minutes and seconds. And I mean, you just try and sit down and you try and break life down, and you'll find out very quickly that there is a complexity to life that we won't ever fully be able to understand until we get to go home and be with the Lord. And each of us, we make and must make many crucial decisions day after day. Now, some of those decisions are easy. Some of those decisions are hard. But every day you're faced with a myriad of decisions that have to be made. And that's just what the complexity of life is all about. And apart from the will of God, life really is a mystery. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we seek to do His will, it's then life starts to make a little bit of sense. Life starts to get a little bit less complicated, as it were. And even the physical world around you takes on new meanings. And there's a simplicity and a unity to our lives that makes us have some poise and have some confidence. And you're no longer living in a mysterious, threatening universe. And you can sing. It's like the old hymn says, this is my Father's world. And you can sing that. And you can sing that with confidence. And you can sing that with joy. And all of a sudden, those complexities of life, even though they're still there, now that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, they become a little less mysterious. They become a little less complex. But we see the complexity of life. But then secondly tonight, I believe we see the uncertainty of life. We see the uncertainty of life. Notice there again, the first part of verse number 14. The Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. This statement reminds us, and it's actually based on Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. The Bible there tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How many of us can be guilty of that? You know, when we're talking with somebody, we're visiting with somebody, we're, you know, shooting the breeze, and we'll say, hey, well, what's on your agenda for tomorrow? What's on your schedule for tomorrow? Or what do you got planned for tomorrow? What are you doing? And we go back and forth. Well, here's what I got to do tomorrow. Here's what's on my to-do list. Here's this schedule and the plan. And, you know, that's just normal everyday talk. It's what we do as humans. But, you know, every time we do that, we're reminded of Proverbs 27. What we're really doing is we're boasting ourselves of tomorrow. The fact is, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow to accomplish those things. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow to see those plans and those to-do lists accomplished and what have you. And here in James, we have these businessmen there in verse number 13. They're talking about what city they're going to go to, how long they're going to be there, and why they're going to be there to buy and to sell and to get gain. And these businessmen, they were making plans for a whole year when they themselves could not even see ahead into one day. And you see how confident they were. They said, we will go, we will stay a year, we will buy, we will stay, we will buy and we will sell, and we will make a profit. That's how confident they were in their plans. Turn over, if you would, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. You know, I'm part of some preacher groups on Facebook, and we're right around this time of year now where I'll start to see posts on, well, what does your preaching calendar look like for the year? And God bless them. I know some preachers, they'll have their whole list of sermons for a Sunday morning planned out for the entire 52 weeks of a new year. And number one, I wish I was that organized or that well thought out or that well planned, but I'm not. But also, sometimes Lord changes the message. Sometimes Lord leads you in a different direction. You have to be able to go with that and pivot with that. But Luke chapter 12. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through verse number 21. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I had no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so here in James, these merchants, these businessmen, they're planning a whole calendar year in advance to go stay in another city for a year to buy, to sell, to get profit. And it reminds us of that story that we just read there in Luke chapter 12. The man there in Luke chapter 12, he had a bumper crop, but his barns were too small. He didn't have enough room for all of the crops that he was growing, and so he decided to build bigger barns and have greater security for the future. But God's reply to this man's boasting, he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, life is uncertain. It's uncertain to us. But here's the encouraging part of this. While it's uncertain to us, life is not uncertain to God. Life is not uncertain to the Lord. And it's only when we are in his will can we be confident of tomorrow. Because we know where it is he's leading us, even if we don't actually know where it is he's leading us. You think of, it's in the Old Testament. And the Lord gave the command to rise up and go. And the very next verse, somebody help me with this. It was to flee Sodom and Gomorrah. Anyway, he gives his command, rise up and go. And the very next verse, he rises up and go. He didn't even know where he was going.
Abraham,
thank you. It was when he was still Abram. He said that, what's the reference there?
Oh,
okay.
Genesis, maybe?
Oh,
it's in Genesis, but
Genesis 19, too.
Go there. Genesis 19, let's go there.
Lot was the one who fled from Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yes.
And then Abram was the one that said Sarah wasn't his wife, it was his sister.
Yes. All right, let's look there, Genesis 19, then. That might be it. It might not be it. We'll find it together. Genesis chapter 19. No, not quite there. But there's an account here in the Old Testament where I believe it's Abram. He's told to flee. He's told to leave his place of security. And, chapter 12. There we go. Genesis chapter 12. See, if you flip back far enough, you'll eventually find whatever you're looking for. But Genesis chapter 12. And notice there, if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now notice there, all God says is get up, go, I will show thee. He doesn't show him at this particular time. He doesn't tell him where it is he's going. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now notice this. So verse 1, God says, get up, go, I'll show it to you. Verse 4, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And so the Lord, he comes and says, get up, go, and at 75 years of age, even though Abram did not know where the Lord was leading, all he knew was that the Lord was leading. And sometimes that's all you and I know. We don't know where he's leading, but we know he's leading. We know he's in control. We know that he's there with us each step of the way. And he wants us, when it seems uncertain to us, he wants us to realize that it's not uncertain to him. And we can be confident of tomorrow when we know it's him who is leading and not us who is leading. And so we see the complexity of life. We see the uncertainty of life. And then thoroughly this morning or this evening, we see the brevity of life. We see the brevity of life. You're back there, James chapter 4. Notice there the second part of verse 14. Second part of verse 14, for what is your life? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. As you get throughout your Bible and you get through reading your scriptures, you'll find that this is one of the most often repeated themes in the Bible. You'll find this is one of the most often repeated themes in the Word of God. You see, to us, life seems long. And we measure life in years. We get older, you live to be 100. We celebrate that in today's day and age. They reach triple digits, 100 years old. And, when you're younger, you live to get older as you're younger. You know, when you're talking to a young kid or whatever, well, how old are you? And they'll say 4.5, 5.5, 6.5. Well, you never get up to someone who's 40 and they say, how old are you? Well, I'm 40.5. No, because as you get older, you don't want to get older. You want to try and stay as young as you possibly can. But to us, life seems long and we measure it in years. But when we stop and we think to compare life to eternity, to the eternal, to that which never ends, life is but a vapor. It's here for that little bit of time and then vanisheth away. James borrowed that figure from the book of Job, where you find many pictures of the brevity of life. Go there if you would, James chapter 7, or Job chapter 7, excuse me. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7 this evening. And notice there, if you would, verse number 6. Job chapter 7 and verse number 6. The Bible says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Job chapter 7 and verse 9. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Then look, if you would, Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. And notice there, verse number 9. Job chapter 8, verse number 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. And then notice, if you would, Job chapter 9 and verses 25 and 26. Job chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. And then finally, Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14 verses 1 and 2. Job chapter 14 verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And so again, we see our life is but a vapor. We count our years at each birthday. But God, in Psalm 92, or Psalm 90 and verse 12, he teaches us to number our what? Our days. Not our years, our days. You see, after all, we live what? One day at a time. In those days, they rush by more quickly the older we grow. It seems like just yesterday was last October. And now here we are in a new October. And that's just how life goes, faster and faster with each passing day. And so tonight, since life is so brief, we cannot afford merely to just spend our lives, so to speak. You know, you ever hear the phrase, you know, when encouraged to do something, and usually it's when you're encouraged to do something wrong, you know, they say, oh, you only live once. Well, that's not true tonight. You don't live only once, because we're going to live for eternity one of two places. And that's it.
What gets me is when people say, oh, I just bought my forever home.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No. It may be your forever home here while you're here, but you're going to have another forever home.
That's right.
And you need to make sure you have that settled. That forever home is free if you pick the right one. And but yeah, we need to invest our lives in, you know, those things that, you know, are eternal. And we certainly don't want to look back and, you know, especially when we're on our deathbeds and, you know, look at things we did and, you know, say, well, we just wasted our life. That's why, you know, we always encourage you, you know, folks look at the church and they look at folks who serve in the church and they mock that, they ridicule that. But, you know, what happens in a place like this, in a church like this, it's going to count for eternity. Because the truth is, you don't know whose life it is that you're impacting. You don't know, you know, that visitor that walked through the door, those events that the church hosts, those trying to get people in the doors and for the sole purpose of getting the gospel out and to see someone come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, those things, that's what's eternal. That's what counts in the long and the grand scheme of things, is when we invest in those things which are eternal. And God, he reveals to us his will in his word. And, you know, the sad truth of the matter is today most people, they ignore the Bible. They just take it and they throw it to the side. They don't know, they don't know what it says, and they don't care to know what it says. But in his word, in the Bible, God gives us, he gives us precepts, he gives us principles, he gives us promises that can guide us in every area of life, from the crib to the grave. God gives us everything we need to live this life in his word. And it's in the Bible that knowing and obeying the word of God is the surest way to success. And so we see tonight, we see the complexity of life, the uncertainty of life, the brevity of life, that shortness of life. And then fourthly and finally tonight, we see the frailty of man. We see the frailty of man. Notice there, James chapter 4 and verse 16. James chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You see, man's boasting, it only does one thing. And that covers up our weakness. And we're all guilty of that. You know, we all have weaknesses. We all have frailties. We all have failures and faults and those different sort of things. And we try and mask those things by boasting in the things in which we're good at. Someone once wrote about our text, man proposes, but God disposes. Solomon said at first in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You know, the truth of the matter tonight is we cannot control future events. As much as we want to, we can't control what's going to happen tomorrow. Likewise, we neither have the wisdom to see the future nor the power to control the future. And for us to boast is sin. It's making us God, and how foolish that really is. You see, it's foolish for people to ignore the will of God. It's like going through the dark jungles without a map, or over a stormy sea without a compass, or whatever the case may be. There's a cave in Kentucky called Mammoth Cave. And there at Mammoth Cave, there's a maze of tunnels, and the dense darkness that occurs when the lights are turned off. And when you get to this place that is known as the Pulpit Rock, the man in charge of the tour gives a 5-word sermon from it. He says this: stay close to your guide. Stay close to your guide. And so as we remember tonight, the complexity, uncertainty, and brevity of life, as we're confronted with our own faults and our own failures and our own frailties, let that be the encouragement. Stay close to your guide. Stay close to your Lord. Stay close to your God. In fact, if you were to go back and read James 4, notice there in verse number 8. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so as you go through the darkness of this world, as you go through the storms of this life, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. And so yes, tonight, life is short. You can go from planning one thing to having no real plans at all. But in the midst of all of it, the Lord is still in control. God still is on the throne, and He still knows exactly what it is that He's doing. Let's go to Lord in prayer tonight, and then we'll have some prayer requests this evening.